Tonight on the Worldview Report, government bureaucrats are evicting homeless veterans from temporary housing in New York in order to make room for illegal immigrants. More wokeness to report in corporate America. Champion swimmer Riley Gaines is asking athletes to boycott Adidas after the company used two biological men to advertise women's swimwear as part of its Pride 2023 collection. Law enforcement and families of the victims of the mass shooting at Covenant Christian School in Nashville are asking a court to block the release of the shooter's manifesto. We'll tell you why. The ultra-secretive globalist Bilderberg Group met this weekend in Portugal, and we'll share who was there and the topics discussed. And Joe Biden's transgendered former Energy Department appointee is arrested as a fugitive from justice. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. Rare Foundation reports that homeless American veterans in New York have been forcefully evicted from their temporary housing. Why? Make room for hundreds of undocumented and unvetted migrants, many of which are military-aged males. Foundation states, quote, "This shocking treatment of our veterans who have bravely served and sacrificed for their country is a stark betrayal. The prioritization of non-Americans over these honorable individuals reflects a disturbing trend also seen in Europe, where citizens have been displaced to accommodate migrants, many of whom have been shown to be extremely dangerous and have values and ambitions in militant opposition to Western values and laws," end quote. The city of New York has recently experienced a massive influx of more than 60,000 migrants arriving just before the end of Title 42. The migrants were bused north by left-wing Mayor Eric Adams to alleviate the pressure on the Big Apple. It is under this backdrop that homeless veterans temporarily housed in area hotels were evicted to accommodate the wave of illegals. The evictions carried out in Nuremberg and Middletown have left many veterans displaced, with their already challenging lives further destabilized. Check out this video from the Rare Foundation. Notice that was a military operation from start to finish. The U.S. military assisting with bringing in foreign illegals who are themselves males of military age. I believe that's treason, folks, pure and simple. Not necessarily for the individuals carrying out the orders, although that is questionable to say the least, but certainly and especially among those who gave the orders. We're looking at treason of the highest order. U.S. women's champion swimmer Riley Gaines tells the Daily Mail she is requesting that athletes boycott Adidas after the sports apparel maker used two biological men to market women's swimwear as part of its so-called Pride 2023 collection. Adidas is the target of the latest backlash against woke marketing after being accused of, quote, erasing women, end quote. Swimmers, well, they're part of Adidas's Pride 2023 collection, dubbed Let Love Be Your Legacy. And they are for sale for $70 on the website in the women's section. Both models, who are described as they online, have hairy chest, visible male autonomy, and their description says they are 6 feet 2 inches with a 34-inch chest and 27-inch waist. Additionally, one of the biological male models posed in a sports bra. Gaines told DailyMail.com that she is, quote, hopeful that athletes will do the right thing and come out and denounce it, end quote. Gaines tweeted that Adidas's marketing ploy is not about selling bathing suits, but rather about, quote, erasing women, end quote. The Bilderberg Group, which brings a handful of the world's power elites together annually in secret meetings to strategize about geopolitics, war, and peace, met this weekend, May 18th to the 21st, in Lisbon, Portugal. The Bilderbergs operate under the Chapman House Rule, meaning participants are, quote, free to use the information received, but neither the identity nor the affiliation of the speakers or participants. They can't be revealed, end quote. That's according to the Bilderberg website. There is no detailed agenda, no resolutions are proposed, no votes are taken, and no policy statements are issued. In a March 10th, 2001 article in The Guardian, Dennis Healy, co-founder of the Bilderberg Group and a steering committee member for 30 years, said, quote, to say we are striving for a one-world government is exaggerated, but not wholly unfair. Those of us in Bilderberg felt we couldn't go on forever fighting one another for nothing and killing people and rendering millions homeless, end quote. According to last year's press release, some of the topics discussed included geopolitical realignments, NATO challenges, China, Russia, and continuity of government and the economy, disruption of the global financial system, disinformation, and post-pandemic health. According to the Bilderberg website, the key topics for discussion this year were AI, banking system, China, energy transition, Europe, fiscal challenges, India, industrial policy and trade, along with NATO, Russia, transnational threats, Ukraine, U.S. leadership. This year's guest, well, they included the likes of two-time losing Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, the 100-year-old Henry Kissinger, Biden's director of national intelligence, Avril Haines, NATO Secretary General Hans Stoltenberg, Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, and Biden's Senior Director for Technology and National Security on the National Security Council, Tarum Chabra. We also found Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, the CEO of OpenIA, Sam Altman, and journalists from The Atlantic, The Economist, and The Financial Times. Republican lawmakers in North Carolina overrode the veto of Democrat Governor Roy Cooper on Tuesday and enacted a law that bans most abortions after 12 weeks and places new restrictions on abortion drugs and clinics. The Senate voted 30 to 20 along party lines on Tuesday of last week to uphold Senate Bill 20. And the House followed hours later with a 72-48 vote. Cooper, a strong supporter of unrestricted abortion, vetoed the bill at a rally with abortion activists on Saturday, saying that it would, quote, make abortion unavailable to many women, particularly those with lower incomes, those who live in rural areas, and those who already have limited access to health care, end quote. The legislation is the result of private negotiations between conservative and moderate Republicans after the North Carolina GOP secured a narrow supermajority in the state legislature last month. We'll be right back after this break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
U.S. Congressman Burgess Owens, a Republican from Utah, put the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education on the spot Tuesday, May 16th, when he asked the Secretary a pointed question during a House Education and Workforce Committee hearing. The Biden regime has been pressuring public schools nationwide to allow males to compete in women's sports, use women's restrooms and shower facilities if they, quote, identify, end quote, as females. Owens, the father of five daughters, has strong feelings on the subject. He asked Education Secretary Miguel Cardona if he would be okay with, quote, my homeboys, end quote, entering a bathroom with his daughter if they identified as a woman. Here's the video clip of that exchange.
Would you say, as an 18-year-old young man, that if me and some of my homeboys decided we wanted to be women, would it be okay for your daughter, for me to go into your daughter's bathroom to expose myself because I felt I was a woman? Would that be fair to your daughter?
Congressman,
By the way, I have five daughters, so I am very passionate about the questions I ask you right now, and I would think it would be no question in your mind as a father what these answers should be. There should not be hemming and hawing about this.
Congressman,
your daughter now.
There's nothing in our proposed Title IX regulations that...
Folks, he never did answer the question. The FBI has been secretly infiltrating private chat rooms compromised of people who opposed mandated COVID injections in order to disrupt their conversations and redirect the narrative. The FBI, as it often does, hired a private contractor to do its dirty work. In this case, a firm called Flashpoint. It served as part of a massive government-led effort to stop airline industry workers and others from rising up against the mandates. That's what investigative journalist Lee Fang recently reported at The Defender. A Flashpoint analyst held a webinar presentation, a copy of which was obtained by Fang. In it, the analyst discusses his company's methods of infiltration and redirection in private Telegram chat groups devoted to resistance against experimental COVID drugs. Because private Telegram chats require an invite link in order to join, the FBI tasked Flashpoint with tricking the group's moderators and administrators into accepting them. Flashpoint, Fang warns, is one of the leading companies in what has come to be known as the, quote, threat intelligence industry, end quote. This industry, he explains, works to create fake online identities for federal agents to infiltrate not only Telegram chat rooms, but also Discord chats, WhatsApp groups, Reddit forums, and even so-called dark web message boards. The intelligence collected from this infiltration is then relayed back to the mothership. In this case, it's the FBI. Joshua Yoder, president of the U.S. Freedom Flyers, told the Defender that he is well aware of the fact that Flashpoint infiltrated his group's private chat rooms on Telegram. Yoder said, quote, "Tradecraft and other strategies are often used to gain inside knowledge of conservative organizations with the intent to disrupt, mislead, and otherwise thwart effective campaigns. Infiltration is a tactic used by the deep state to prevent the truth from being told by attempting to destroy the advancement of the message. The team at U.S. Freedom Flyers has been successful in recognizing these attacks, and we have taken decisive actions to protect the organization and our members," end quote. General Mark Milley has announced he will soon retire as the U.S. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. On its face, that would seem like splendid news. It was Milley, if you recall, who, while serving under President Donald Trump, informed his counterpart in China that if Trump decided to do anything threatening to China, he would call and give the Chinese communist a, quote, heads up, end quote. Revolver News posted an article on May 18th imploring conservatives not to celebrate just yet in thinking that General Milley's retirement is a win for the U.S. military. As problematic as Milley may have been, Revolver warns us to be prepared for an even worse chairman of the Joint Chiefs, one who is waiting in the wings. Reports are circulating that Joe Biden is considering Air Force Chief and Black Lives Matter supporter Charles Q. Brown Jr. He's considering him for the position of Joint Chiefs Chairman. And this choice, folks, will be highly controversial, as you can well imagine. Many believe that Brown is determined to swiftly transform the U.S. military into an anti-white free-for-all, making him a terrible choice for the military, but a perfect pick for the regime in power. Journalist Daniel Greenfield reports that Brown disgraced himself and his uniform during the 2020 Black Lives Matter race riots by releasing a video in which he, quote, seemed to barely contain his rage, end quote, while ranting, quote, that the ideals of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that I've sworn my adult life to support and defend have not always delivered liberty and equality to all, end quote. What horrible acts of oppression did one of the most powerful men in the military experience that made him turn on America? That's what Greenfield asked. In his own words to People magazine, Brown said, quote, "When you get to senior levels, you have reserved parking spots around the base. I was in civilian clothes. I parked in a spot and someone came out and said, that slot is reserved for Pacific Air Force's commander. And I go, yeah, I know, because I'm the Pacific Air Force's commander," end quote. Someone questioned Brown's parking space once. And now, apparently all the white male officers must pay. Here's Brown whining about his poor me life, which resulted in him rising to the very top of the Air Force. Is he qualified? Or is this affirmative action? You decide. Watch this video.
As the commander of Pacific Air Forces, a senior leader in our Air Force, and an African American, many of you may be wondering what I'm thinking about the current events surrounding the tragic death of George Floyd. Here's what I'm thinking about. And think about how full I am with emotion, not just for George Floyd, but the many African Americans that have suffered the same fate as George Floyd. I'm thinking about protests in my country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, the equality expressed in our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution that I've sworn my adult life to support and defend. And thinking about a history of racial issues and my own experiences that didn't always sing of liberty and equality. I'm thinking about living in two worlds, each with their own perspective and views. I'm thinking about my sister and I being the only African Americans in our entire elementary school and trying to fit in. I'm thinking about then going to a high school where roughly half the students were African American and trying to fit in. I'm thinking about my Air Force career, where I was often the only African American in my squadron, or as a senior officer, the only African American in the room. I'm thinking about wearing the same flight suit with the same wings on my chest as my peers, and then being questioned by another military member, "Are you a pilot?" And thinking about how I sometimes felt my comments were perceived to represent the African American perspective, when it was just my perspective informed by being African American. I'm thinking about some of the insensitive comments made without awareness by others. I'm thinking about being a captain at the Oak Club with my squadron and being told by other African Americans that I wasn't black enough, since I was spending more time with my squadron than with them. I'm thinking about my mentors and how I had a mentor that looked like me. I'm thinking about the sound advice that has led to my success, and even so, most of my mentors could not relate to my experience as an African American. I'm thinking about the pressure I felt to perform error-free, especially for supervisors I perceive had expected less from me as an African American. I'm thinking about having to represent by working twice as hard to prove their expectations and perceptions of African Americans were invalid. I'm thinking about the airmen that have lived through similar experiences and feelings as mine, or who were either consciously or unconsciously unfairly treated. Conversely, I'm thinking about the airmen who don't have a life similar to mine and don't have to navigate through two worlds. I'm thinking about how these airmen view racism, whether they don't see it as a problem since it doesn't happen to them, or whether they're empathetic. I'm thinking about our two sons. Now we had to prepare them to live in two worlds. I'm thinking about the frank and emotional conversations my wife and I have had with them just this past week as we discussed the situations that have led to the protests around our country. Finally, I'm thinking about my historic nomination to be the first African American to serve as the Air Force Chief of Staff. I'm thinking about the African Americans that went before me to make this opportunity possible. I'm thinking about the immense expectations that come with this historic nomination, particularly through the lens of current events plaguing our nation. I'm thinking about how I may have fallen short in my career and will likely continue falling short living up to all those expectations. I'm thinking about how my nomination provides some hope, but also comes with a heavy burden. I can't fix centuries of racism in our country, nor can I fix decades of discrimination that may have impacted members of our Air Force. I'm thinking about how I can make improvements personally, professionally, and institutionally, so that all airmen, both today and tomorrow, appreciate the value of diversity and can serve in an environment where they can reach their full potential. I think I don't have all the answers on how to create such an environment, whether here in PACAF or across our Air Force. I'm thinking about, without clear-cut answers, I just want to have the wisdom and knowledge to lead during difficult times like these. I want the wisdom and knowledge to lead, participate in, and listen to necessary conversations on racism, diversity, and inclusion. I want the wisdom and knowledge to lead those willing to take committed and sustained action to make our Air Force better. That's what I'm thinking about. I want to know what you're thinking about. I want to hear what you're thinking about and how together we can make a difference.
Brown implemented quotas in the Air Force that limit the number of white officers to 67% and cut white men down to 43%. For him, apparently it's all about skin color, not job performance. He says he's interested in listening to stories of racism, diversity, and inclusion, when I think he should be focused on preparing an Air Force for the defense of this country during a time of war, a time that might not be far off, with the Biden regime provoking both Russia and China in ways no other president, I don't think, has ever done. But now, this man may be headed for a promotion that will see him influence a lot of policy, an influence that will spread all over, not just the Air Force, but the entire military. Now you wonder why I say at the conclusion of each broadcast, "May God save America." Samuel Brinton, the non-binary, transgendered, former Biden regime official who was ousted after being arrested for stealing ladies' clothing at airports, has been arrested as a fugitive from justice. Brinton, an LGBTQ plus activist and drag queen who served at the Department of Energy's Office of Nuclear Energy, went by the alter ego Sister Ray D. Oh, active. He was exposed by the National Pulse for, among other things, defending the website rentboy.com, they reported, which was shut down in August of 2015 after a raid related to underage prostitution. The Daily Mail reports, quote, Britton was arrested at approximately 10 p.m. last night in his home on College Parkway. He's being held in the Montgomery County Central Processing Unit on a non-bond status as they await an extradition hearing, end quote. After about an hour, neighbors told the Daily Mail that Sam Britton was escorted out in handcuffs. The National Pulse was able to discover that during his time as a Biden official, Britton was among the top 1% of federal employees in terms of his salary. He also enjoyed top-level, quote, Q clearance, end quote, giving him access to classified information, quote, which reasonably could be expected to cause exceptionally grave damage to the national security, end quote, if it was leaked. Sam Britton is, or at least was, according to reports, a member of the Washington, D.C. chapter of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence Drag Queen Society, which has declared Dr. Anthony Fauci, a.k.a. Daddy Fauci, end quote, a, quote, saint, end quote. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. FBI whistleblower Special Agent Garrett O'Boyle offered testimony on Thursday of last week to the House Judiciary Committee, sharing his experience with the dark side of the Bureau after making protected disclosures to Congress. During his testimony on Thursday, O'Boyle noted that the FBI was squashing whistleblower testimony, quote, by design, end quote, describing the Bureau as, quote, an Orwellian atmosphere that silences opposition and discussion, end quote. O'Boyle also said that, quote, too many in the FBI aren't willing to sacrifice for the hard right over the easy wrong, end quote. Watch this video.
I've sworn to defend this country from enemies, both foreign and domestic, even if that means sacrificing my life. I've lived that oath out since first enlisting in the Army, consistently saying, here am I, send me. My oath, however, did not include sacrificing the hopes, dreams, and livelihood of my family, my strong, beautiful, and courageous wife, and our four sweet and beautiful daughters who have endured this process along with me. In weaponized fashion, the FBI allowed me to accept orders to a new position halfway across the country. They allowed us to sell my family's home. They ordered me to report to the new unit when our youngest daughter was 2 weeks old. Then, on my first day on the new assignment, they suspended me, rendering my family homeless. They refused to release our goods, including our clothes, for weeks. All I wanted to do was serve my country by stopping bad guys and protecting the innocent. To my chagrin, bad guys have begun running parts of the government, making it difficult to continue to serve this nation and protect the innocent. But I, for one, will never stop trying, and I'll never forget my oath.
Bad guys are running the government. It's been said we're in a battle between good and evil. And when the government's armed police force is on the side of evil, which clearly it is if you listen to these whistleblowers, well, we can look forward to things getting a lot worse before they get better. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, we thank you for tuning in and for supporting this viewer-supported broadcast. There are a few ways you can do that. One is by going to WVWTVstore.com and checking out the emergency food supplies that have a 25-year shelf life and, frankly, taste very good. I've eaten many of the entrees. They're good. We also have not only emergency food, but emergency supplies, including things like heirloom seeds that, well, we're out of stock for like 3 years from our distributor. We now have them as they have them. So we now have heirloom seeds, a variety of 20. You'll find that heirloom seed vault available on our website at WVWTVstore.com, along with other very important and vital emergency resources. Another way you can support us is by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code B66. Right now, there's a sale on a six-piece MyPillow towel set. They were $100, then about $59, and now, or $49. Now, they're $25. What was $100, now $25. six-piece MyPillow towel set, but you got to use the promo code B66. We also have Giza Dream Sheets on sale there as well. But again, please use the promo code B66 so we get credit and then you get the savings. Everybody wins because that's how we keep this broadcast going, as it takes a team of about seven of us, 15 man hours a day to put it all together. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. And then finally, if you appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate your support. Think of us as the conservative alternative to NPR, public television. They're listener supported. We are as well. And you can make a contribution at WVWFoundation.com. Our foundation does many things, including helping to push out free broadcasts, radio, TV, this broadcast, my documentaries, many things for free as a public service of WVW Foundation. We also sponsor a Sunday night service. I've been teaching that since 2015, Sunday nights, 8 p.m. at WVWTV.com. So thank you for your contribution of any size at WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. We'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. Well, till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. May God save America. Take care.